So what was our section about yesterday? What was it? Karmakanda. And what was Karmakanda? What is this? Fruitive activities. A section in the Vedas, or a system, Vedic system, which is actually for which kind of people? Those who are interested in sense gratification. Why are they interested in sense gratification? Because they are on the bodily platform. For those people who are humans, it's for humans, not for animals. Prabhupada said this is the beginning of human life, when the humans accept the rule of the shastras, of the religious scriptures. A human is not a human as long as he doesn't have, you know, does not accept an authority, follow some regulations. So, it is for those who desire sense gratification, those whose aim is sense gratification. And it is a system of regulation and yajñas. Regulations and yajñas. So this is the, see, this is actually Krishna's plan to attract people to him. It's his first, it's a bait. You know a bait? Those who fish, do fishing, they have something called a bait. Something that the fish likes to eat. And they throw that in the water. So all the fish, we are always in the Vedas, they say that the most important sense which is developed in the fish is the tongue. You can see the form of a fish. It ends with a big mouth. So they are very much into tasting. And that's how they die. So Krishna has given this in the Vedas, promises for sense enjoyment. How to enjoy. And people become very much interested. And in order to get exactly the kind of enjoyment that they want, or some higher enjoyment, more enjoyment, then they become enticed to actually follow some regulation. And this is Krishna strict. It's his strict, because in the beginning they just want to enjoy. But by following the regulations, what happens to them? They become purified, yes. They develop regulation. We will study that in the 14th chapter and other chapters dealing with the three modes of nature. That regulation is a characteristic of the mode of goodness. So those who are in the body concept, they are in ignorance and passion. Almost completely. There's no goodness. And goodness, one of the symptoms of goodness is also enlightenment, knowledge. So there is no knowledge for sense gratifiers. There's no goodness, no knowledge. And by practicing regulation, gradually, their rajogun is going to be a little controlled. And they will begin to gain a higher understanding. So what the Karmakanda section does is that first it just promises there are many, you can get anything there. So small things like you want a son, you know, in the Vedic system they're very fond of sons, they want a son or a child in general. So they want a son. So that's not such a big deal. So they will do yajñas, they perform yajñas, swaha, swaha. And then, poof, the son is born. Wow. So what does it do to them? it builds their faith in the Vedas. It builds their faith in the Vedas and in the Vedic practices, their faith in sacrifice. And sacrifice in general, it means that, it means sacrifice means giving up something for to achieve something else, something higher, something that we prefer. We give up something in order to achieve something higher. So in the beginning, they will perform yagyas to get some ridiculous things, like something in this world. But then, as they hear, when they go to the yagyas, then the brahmanas will tell them, oh, you know, there are other sacrifices if you give more dakshina. There are other sacrifices, bigger sacrifices. And they will come to know about sacrifices that we will hear about today, like the Jyotish Toma, or some other sacrifices, which the result of which is the accumulation of so much punya that one actually reaches the heavenly planets. So what is the trick here? Then they think, oh, going to the heavenly planets. So first they hear that there are other planets besides this planet. And then they say, yes, I want to go. But then they will have to understand that it's not going to take you there in this body, in this life. Oh, what's the use? Then they will have to understand that, oh, next life. Oh, there is another life. Yes, there is another life. You understand the trick? If you want to go to heaven, you have to believe in life after death. So they believe in life, they come to understand that, they come to accept that there is life after death. And when while doing all these yagyas, not only they chant the hymns pleasing to the demigods and so on, but they also recite the Upanishads. And they meet the Brahmins. And if they are lucky, then gradually they understand how they're going to go to the other planets. It's not with the body, but it's the soul that is going to go. So they come to understand that actually, see, not by jnana, but by performance of sacrifice, it brings them to conclude that I am not the body. And by hearing from the Brahmins are always teaching about the spirit. So they will actually reaffirm that knowledge that no, we are not the body, we are the soul. And then slowly, the Brahmins are going to tell them, you know, besides the higher planets, there are planets even higher than this. There are planets which are eternal. There is existence beyond the material planets. So in this way, by the performance, by this simple bait that they receive, come here, you want to enjoy, come here. And then they get, you know, caught by Krishna's supreme intelligence. By regulation, they kind of lose their desire to enjoy. And then gradually they understand that there is another body, there is another life, there is a soul. And finally they will come to the verse that we will, the verses that we will be studying today. They will come to understand that there is a different purpose of life than just enjoyment. What is the other person? The other purpose is liberation. That will be their first aim. So in 38, we heard Sukha Dukhe Same Kritva Labha Labha Jaya Jayo. So what this meant is that here Krishna was canvassing in favor of the karma kanda, that instead of desiring immediate prayas, instead of desiring some immediate victory, instead of that, shreyas, and in that sense it was heaven. You see, that was a karma kanda. Give up the small thing, just immediate victory, for the bigger one. Heaven, if you die in battle. So that was the karmakanda logic. And for this, you have to be, as he said, you have to be equipoised in happiness and distress and gain and loss, meaning immediate happiness and distress and gain and loss, in order to gain something bigger. But that's still sense gratification. So when the person becomes intelligent at some point, then the idea of actually not acting for sense gratification, but acting for something greater is going to be introduced. And this is what Krishna is going to explain. By practicing karmakanda, one avoids sin. He said there will be no sin. You shall never incur sin. And one builds up punya. So in this verse now, we will read next verse 39. This section is a long section, from 39 to 53. Buddhi yoga, which means action based on knowledge, action without reaction. Karmakanda means action with pious reactions. And this buddhi yoga means action without reaction, which is what we usually hear as akarma. Akarma. Yes. So better than working for sense gratification to gain punya is transcendental work. Or work that frees the soul from all reactions. So here in this section, Krishna is going to tell Arjuna, act in yoga.
Esha te vihita sankhye buddhya yoge tvimam shrinu buddhya yukto yaya partha karma bandham prahasyasi.
So this is the connection between the two sections. Krishna says, thus far, until now, in the previous sections, verses, I have described this knowledge to you through analytical study. This is Esha te vihita sankhye. Sankhya, yoga. So, until now, this is what I have done. In where did he do that, Krishna? Which previous section? 11 to 30. That was 11 to 30. Sorry? No. Analytical study. The Jnana. 11 to 30. Now listen, as I explain it, meaning I will explain the same. As I explain it in terms of working without fruitive results. O son of Pritha, when you act in such knowledge, you can free yourself from the bondage of words. So previously, Krishna has given us the theoretical knowledge, jnana, pertaining to the soul, the truth of existence. Prabhupada says, according to the Nirukti, or the Vedic dictionary, Sankhya means that which describes things in detail. And Sankhya refers to that philosophy which describes the real nature of the soul. Further down he said, the descriptive knowledge of the soul and the body from different angles of vision has been described here as Sankhya. So So Krishna has tried to make us come to the point of realizing we are not this body through Sankhya Yoga. And so Sankhya means, we said before, to count, which meaning to study all the different elements and try to isolate the spiritual element. And yoga means it involves controlling the senses. Because as long as the senses are freely involved with the sense objects, then there is no chance of the consciousness to be awake. The consciousness is always absorbed in the sense object, and that's where it is. So we have to withdraw the consciousness from the sense object to be able to hear and to work with knowledge. And now he is going to explain, after explaining Sankhya Yoga or Jnana Yoga, now he will explain Buddhir Yoge Tvimam Shrinu. Listen as I explain it. He will explain Buddhi Yoga. But Srila Prabhupada translates here Buddhi Yoga, it's action dovetailed by intelligence, or work without fruitive results. So this term Buddhi Yoga signifies that from this point, the living entity accepts subordination to a supreme truth. It connects his intelligence with the higher intelligence, accepts that there is a higher truth which is to be achieved. Now this Buddhi Yoga that he's going to explain here, this Buddhi Yoga is a bit of a tricky thing, because Srila Prabhupada will describe it all the time as Krishna consciousness. And it is a fact. What the fact is that actually Buddhi Yoga, if we define it as working without fruitive result, it is rather karma yoga. It is actually nishkam karma yoga. Nishkam means without fruitive desires. So the point is that this Buddhi yoga, if you want, it begins with karma yoga and it is perfected in devotional service. Karma yoga. In karma yoga, there is a beginning of the connection of the intelligence with the supreme will. And in devotional service, there is total connection of the intelligence with the supreme will. So we have to see it like that. And in this way, understand how Srila Prabhupada equates it with devotional service. Because the point is that Buddhi yoga is only perfect in Krishna consciousness. Before that, it is, we would say, a half done. It's on the way there. So actually, from this point here, we are beginning our ascension of something which the Acharyas have called the yoga ladder. And at some point, we will have a class just to give a complete overview of the yoga ladder. Right now, we have seen first Arjun not wanting to do his duty. This was the level of which kind of karma? Krishna going against the Shastras? Vikarma. Vikarma, not doing one's duty, going against the Shastra. That is the level of Vikarma. So, and then we have seen the next level of Karmakanda, which is karma. When we call people karmis, these are the karmis, real ones. And now we are moving up to Karma Yoga. And Krishna consciousness, because as you remember, what is the title of this chapter? Contents of the Bhagavad Gita summarized. So Krishna is actually giving the whole overview, including hints at devotional service. So 11 to 30, Sankhya, Gyan, which means contemplation on the nature of matter and spirit. And then from 31 to 38, we heard about karma. And now from 39 onwards, we are going to hear of a path which mixes both the karma and the jnana. Because the karma kanda was karma without knowledge, without knowledge of the proper goal. So this such work of karma, so these people will be doing the same thing as the karmis. They will follow the same things, but the result that they will hope for is different. They will work for liberation, and the result of karma yoga is vijnan, to actually understand oneself effectively as different from the body. And what is the result of working in this way? This is karma bandham prahasyasi. You will be free from karma bandhan. Bandhan means bondage. Free from the reactions of work, free from bondage. So Prabhupada summarizes that Arjuna's position, what was he thinking? What is going to give me more happiness? This was his psychology. What's going to give me more happiness? To not fight or to fight? What's going to be my highest enjoyment? So this was quite selfish. And Prabhupada said this neglected wisdom, and he was ready to neglect his duty. So then Krishna gave his teachings, that we are not this body. Why you are bothering about this happiness and distress, which belong to the body, which do not belong to the soul? So 2 points in the purport. We are going to study a bit further what is this Buddhi Yoga. What did we say so far about Buddhi Yoga? Karma plus Gyan. Yes? What else did we hear? Okay, so it's Nishkam Karma Yoga, but Prabhupada also interprets it as devotional service. No reactions to the work performed when the intelligence is connected with the Supreme Will. Yes? It begins with Karma Yoga and is perfected in Bhakti Yoga. Yes? Okay, that's what we are trying to understand. What is the difference between karma kanda and karma yoga? Who can say? Who understood? Kinshana? In karma kanda, you act with the aim of enjoyment. You want enjoyment. And? Karma yoga, yoga means to connect, to link. So karma yoga means that you are not acting for your own enjoyment, because you understood you are not this body. So you act in perfection, you act for the pleasure of the Lord. So you act for liberation, you act for spiritual enlightenment, you act for a spiritual goal. And ultimately you act for the pleasure of Vishnu. What's the difference between karma yoga and devotional service? There are two differences, mainly two differences. One difference is that is the type of activity is different, and the relationship we have with Krishna is different. Karma yoga means to follow, to do the activities of Varnashram for the maintenance of the body, for the maintenance of the society, and so on. To do these activities, and usually after doing them, to offer part of it, part of the fruit, or all the fruit to Vishnu, understanding that he is the beneficiary. And that by doing that, we become purified and walk on the path of liberation. This is karma yoga. So, for example, one man has a big field with mango trees. So, he grows mango trees. So, karma kanda means you grow mango trees and you eat all the mangoes. You sell the mangoes, you keep all the money for you, and you enjoy, you buy a bigger house, bigger house, bigger house, bigger house, one more mango field, then a pineapple field, and you understand? There is no thoughts of what's going to happen to me after death. And then the karma yogi, so what he does, that he doesn't want to be entangled in the fruit, in the reactions. So he grows the mangoes and he hears that if you dedicate the mango, you know, to Lord Vishnu, then you will be free from sinful reactions. So in the beginning he's little attached, so he gives Lord Vishnu one mango, and he keeps 99, right? So he grows the mangoes for himself. He sells them, gets the profit, and he gives one mango to Vishnu. That purifies him, he becomes detached. So after 10 years, he gives 50 mangoes to Lord Vishnu, and he keeps 50. And as he grows and grows and grows in his spirit of detachment, then he gives 99 mangoes. And then one day he gives 100 mangoes. But whose field is it? It's his. It's his field, it's his trees, it's his mangoes, and he gives them to Lord Vishnu. And he sees it's his means of sustenance, and so on. So Bhakti Yoga is different. Bhakti yoga is that before planting the trees, you decide that I'm going to plant trees for Krishna. It's not for maintenance. It's not for your maintenance. It's not for making money for yourself or building a house for your family, your future generations. It is only for Krishna. You would make mango juice, mango shrikhand, mango cake, mango jam, everything, dry mango, and all for Krishna. And there is a personal relationship in Bhakti Yoga, and there is, you know, it's like you can cook a halwa, and after cooking the halwa, thinking, oh my God, this is going to be really nice, yummy, 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 and then in the end you said, oh my God, I have to offer it to Krishna because of that. So, okay, you offer it to Krishna quickly and then you eat it. That's one way to perform devotional service. That's devotional service mixed with karma, the desire to eat, the desire for the fruit. And another way to cook the halwa is to first go to the kitchen, clean everything, pay obeisances to Gurudev, to Srila Prabhupada, beg them, you know, for the power to cook with devotion and so on, and then with great attention make the halwa. Never think of eating the halwa. Cook the halwa, offer the halwa, distribute the halwa. In the beginning you distribute one spoon and you keep the rest. And then when you become an expert bhakti yogi, you distribute the whole halwa and you never eat halwa.
If we take it back to the main field, the Kavatan section, there's no recognition of this because how do I plant the mangoes as you calculate?
No, it's not by planting the mangoes, it's by doing the yagyas, he has to offer to Lord Vishnu, he has to do sacrifices. And don't worry, we are going to study that more because Arjun will be like you in chapter 3. How does it work? I didn't get it. Should I sit and meditate or should I act? By acting there is reaction, by meditating there's no reaction. Should I act or should I not act? How many mangoes should I eat? So Krishna will explain. Another difference between Karma Yoga and Karma Kanda is that in Karma Kanda the yagyas are offered to the demigods, whereas Karma Yoga means worship of Lord Vishnu. There is recognition, Isha Vasyamidam Sarvam. That is the basis of Karma Yoga. The Karma Kandis worship the demigods for the fulfillment of unlimited material desire. So we are going to learn more about that. So now let us hear about this Buddhi Yoga and how Srila Prabhupada equates it. Prabhupada equates Buddhi Yoga to Karma Yoga and to devotional service and to Jnana Yoga. And Prabhupada sees everything same. Because how is everything same? Because actually it's a ladder. And it's all leading to the same place. So Prabhupada said, it's the same. A karma yogi is going to Krishna. A jnana yogi is also going to Krishna. A bhakti yogi is going to Krishna. So they are all same. But the practices are different and the level of attainment of Krishna is different. The level of evolution of the consciousness is different. So let us read a little bit about this. On page 124, I hope you have the same page. It's the second page of the purport. Prabhupada says, Krishna will now tell Arjuna about the working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. So that's clear, yeah? Or in other words, the funny one. He will tell him about the working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga. Did you find it?
Yes.
It's on page 124. Which verse? Verse 39, purport. It is in the second paragraph, three lines down. Krishna will now tell me about the working process in Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga, or in other words, the practice of devotional service only for the sense gratification of the Lord. So Prabhupada equates it to two different things. These are two different things. This Buddhi Yoga is clearly explained in chapter 10, verse 10. So chapter 10, verse 10 explains the perfection of Buddhi Yoga. What is chapter 10, verse 10? Verse 10? Dadami buddhi yogam tam buddhi yogam. Dadami buddhi. Whoever surrenders unto me, what do I give him? Buddhi yoga. I give him, I link his intelligence with mine. This buddhi yoga is clearly explained in chapter 10 as being direct communion with the Lord, who is sitting as Paramatma in everyone's heart. But such communion does not take place without devotional service. So, this is the perfect connection. Then in the next paragraph, Prabhupada says, this buddhi yoga mentioned in this verse is the devotional service of the Lord. And then this is in the fourth paragraph, Prabhupada explains, buddhi yoga means to work in Krishna consciousness in the full bliss and knowledge of devotional service. One who works for the satisfaction of the Lord only, however difficult such work may be, is working under the principles of buddhi yoga and finds himself always in transcendental bliss. By such transcendental engagement, one achieves all transcendental understanding automatically. No need to study. By the grace of the Lord. And thus his liberation is complete in itself without his making extraneous endeavors to acquire knowledge. Then we will go to chapter 3, verse 3. Purport. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely... Oh? Who was that? Raghunath Hanuga. It was yours. Oh! No lying, no lying, no good. No, no. We are hungry. Yes, Babuji. Tomorrow is holiday. So you have to skip a day. And then on Monday, there's a new teacher. It will be nice welcome. He is a very nice devotee and he likes sweet. You remember how many sweets per person?
Two.
No, it's two. Okay, please remind him so he doesn't forget. All right, next here. The Lord explained two kinds of procedures. So you see again how Prabhupada does. Two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Now in this verse, Lokesmin Dvivida Nishta, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate. Speculate doesn't mean here something negative, just to use their mental power. Those who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So this is according to one's nature. That's one way to understand the difference between Sankhya Yoga and Buddhi Yoga. The Sankhyaite, they have too much brain, so they have to use it. So they think a lot. And then Buddhi Yoga means those who like to act. But because it is Buddhi Yoga, we must understand it's not that they are stupid. They know how to act. And the Sankhyet, they are wondering how to act. Understand? One knows how to act and the other one is still trying to figure out what to do. This is how Prabhupada explains it. He says, there is an example somewhere, I think it's coming. He says it's like the Bhakti Yogi or the Buddhi Yogi, he waters the root of the tree. And the Sankhya Yogi, he searches for the root of the tree. So Buddhi Yoga is more advanced. Now in 10.10, in this verse, the word Buddhi Yoga is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord instructing Arjuna said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of Buddhi Yoga. Now Buddhi Yoga is explained. Buddhi Yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. So you understand this? Highest intelligence. So acting with intelligence, that is, it begins with Karma Yoga. And the highest intelligence, that is acting in Krishna consciousness completely. Having actually fully understood that Krishna is a person and we should just serve him not only through yagya but through love. Buddhi means intelligence and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. In other words, Buddhi Yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. Then we will go to 6:46. In 6:46, we learn how it is that Srila Prabhupada equates Karma Yoga with Buddhi Yoga, with Bhakti Yoga, with Jnana Yoga. You want to know?
Yes.
So it is explained in 6:46. Purport. When we speak of yoga, we refer to linking our consciousness with the Supreme Absolute Truth. What is yoga? Linking the consciousness with the Absolute Truth, Krishna. Such a process is named differently by various practitioners in terms of the particular method adopted. When the linking process is predominantly in fruitive activities, it is called Karma Yoga. When it is predominantly empirical, it is called Jnana Yoga. And when it is predominantly in a devotional relationship with the Supreme Lord, it is called Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga or Krishna consciousness is the ultimate perfection of all yogas, including Buddhi Yoga. Understand? It is the perfection of Buddhi Yoga. As will be explained in the next verse. Okay, so these are some words to understand this Buddhi Yoga, because it is used always, you know, Prabhupada uses it as devotional service, but we should understand that it is, devotional service is its perfection. But the linking of the consciousness with Krishna begins from the point of Karma Yoga. accepting his predominance. It comes after Nishkam Karma Yoga. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you will see when we study the yoga ladder that after Karma Yoga, the ladder splits into two lines. Either, as Prabhupada says, those who are inclined to speculate from this line of Karma Yoga, they go to Gyan Yoga. And this will be explained by Krishna always and repeatedly in the Bhagavad Gita as a dangerous path, because it is the path of inaction and it is unnatural for the soul. And then it branches on the other side into Ashtanga Yoga. And it is easier to go from Ashtanga Yoga to Bhakti Yoga than from Jnana Yoga to Bhakti Yoga. Because Jnana Yoga, the realization which is obtained by Jnana Yoga tends to be impersonal. Jnana Yoga tends to give, because it is, as you had it in your test this morning, definition by negation, 1880. So because you have to speculate and so on, you conclude to something which is not material, not mundane, non-dual, not non-everything, and that's the Brahman. That's the impersonal Brahman. And once one is stuck in that impersonal concept, it is very difficult to return towards the personal concept. So therefore Krishna does not enjoin that path, he condemns that path. And he encourages to go on to Ashtanga. Because in Ashtanga, the meditation is on the super soul, there is the knowledge of the super soul. And then from Ashtanga, one moves on to establishing a loving relationship with the super soul, and Krishna reveals himself.
What is the beginning of Sankhya Yoga and the end of Sankhya Yoga?
The beginning of Sankhya
Yoga is to know the difference between cigarette and...
Again, here there are two things to understand. Is that just as there are karmis and karma yogis, there are jnanis and jnana yogis. There are people who are karmis by nature, they just gratify their senses, they act out of ignorance. And there are people also who are jnanis in the world. Even the scientists, they are jnanis. People who are just naturally brainy. But they don't connect their brain with the absolute truth, the searching for the absolute truth. So the Jnana Yogi is one who is engaged in this path of yoga, of linking. He's trying to link through the process of mental speculation. He's trying to link with the Supreme through that process. Whereas the Karma Yogi is trying to link with the Supreme through his work. Don't worry, we will repeat it several times. It will be explained several times in the Bhagavad Gita. Did something clear? Yes?
It's like Sankhya, it's written like Kapila Sankhya and what is it?
Yes, this is the last point from this purport, that there are two Sankhyas. Prabhupada is warning us. There are two Sankhya philosophies. One is by Devahuti Kapila. Both propounders of the Sankhya philosophies, a name is Kapila. There is the atheistic Kapila and there is Devahuti Kapila, the expansion of Narayan, Krishna. So we follow, which one? Devahuti Kapila. So one Sankhya philosophy is impersonalistic. There is no distinction between the soul and the super soul. They count the elements up to, I think it's 25 or something. No, 25. 25? Atheistic Sankhya, because they count the soul. There are 24 elements plus one. But in the Kapila Sankhya, there is one more. And that's the super soul. That's the super soul. So now what Prabhupada says is that the Sankhya which is presented in the Bhagavad Gita is the same as the Kapila Sankhya. It will bring it does not exclude the personality. It's not impersonalistic. Okay, we will move to the next one. Now, from 40 to 45, this Buddhi Yoga is going to be praised. There will be a glorification of Buddhi Yoga. And Prabhupada says it's a glorification of Bhakti Yoga, as Buddhi Yoga in its perfection is Bhakti. So, in the first verse, number 40, we are hearing the benefit of Buddhi Yoga.
Neha bhikramana swasti pratyavayo yana vidyate svalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat.
Okay, this is an interesting verse. In this endeavor, which endeavor? In Buddhi Yoga. Acting with knowledge. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution. And a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So, what have we understood here? When we perform Buddhi Yoga, and particularly Bhakti Yoga, there is no loss or diminution. Means, Prabhupada again quotes this verse for the second time, Tyaktva Swadharmam Charanam Bhujam Harer. That if somebody gives up his material duties to perform devotional service, there is no loss. There is no sin. There is no loss. So that's one way to understand. Another way to understand is that when you do something, when we do something material, like if you say you prepare a cake, all right, in the kitchen. We are in the kitchen today. So suppose you prepare a cake in the kitchen. So what's very important is that you mix the ingredients and all that, and then you put the cake in the oven, and it's an electric oven. And in the middle, what happens? There is a power cut. So you started some activity, you know, you were on the way to perform something, you started an activity, suppose you wanted to make a cake for the birthday of your dog, okay? Sorry, your father. This was just to wake you up. You were making a cake for the birthday of your father or somebody, okay? That's a Western scene here. And poor, there is a power cut, like in Vrindavan. So then, can you use the cake?
No.
No. So in one sense, it is said that the endeavor was useless because you could not complete your work. You started some work, but you could not complete it. However, if you were going to make the same cake for Krishna, and then in the middle there is a paw cut, so you cannot offer the cake because it's not cooked. But what? But the work that you have performed was not useless. Because that work was done for Krishna, and Krishna accepted that work. He accepted the service, he accepted the work. He doesn't care about the final product, the cake. He took the work. Whereas if you tell that to a kid, you know, make him a cake, you say, well, I'm sorry, you know, I did it for you with lots of love, but mommy, I wanted the cake cooked. What's the use of you making something when it doesn't work? You know, you will never satisfy the person because he wanted the final product. He was not interested in all the other things that were there. He wanted the final product to enjoy. So in that way, there is no loss in performing devotional service. If we serve Krishna in this lifetime, even if we do not achieve perfection, there is no loss. Because in next life, we will begin again from the point where we started. Similarly, if somebody, for example, sometimes people join our movement, giving up their family, giving up their attachment, their bank balance, everything. They join the movement. And for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, they perform devotional service in a bit of a nishkam bhav, not desiring result. They perform their devotional service. And at some point, what happened? Well, some bee in the mind, something happened, and they leave. They go back to material life. And when they go back to material life, they have to start from zero again. They have to go back to the university. They have to learn everything again because they are misfits in the world and this and that. Yeah? So, did they waste their life? Who said yes? Did they waste their life? Did they fail in devotional service? No. They did not fail in devotional service because there is no failure in devotional service. They did not fail. They simply performed devotional service and then they stopped. That's okay. But the credit that they accumulated during the serving, that credit goes in their eternal bank account and it stays there. And in the next life, they will again start from that point. So in that sense, there is no loss. There is no loss and no diminution. There is a permanent effect. So this is one fruit of this Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. We are having so much fun today. Permanent effect. And what else is there? Yeah, we are protected from the greatest fear. Mahato Bhayat. Who is the, what is the great fear? Yes. The greatest fear is not to die, but it's to, you know, become a piggy or, you know, some kind of strange animal. A worm in the stool, they say. Become a worm in the stool. Become some animal, some tree standing for 5,000 years. Some hill, oh my God. Become a hill. With or without wings. So this is the greatest fear. And one who practices karma yoga or devotional service is protected from this. There will not be a fall into lower species.
So
Yeah, kind of. Yes. He's protected. Yes. He's protected. Yes. He has taken the path of elevation, so there will be a protection. Of course, you have to see also in proportions, you know. If he does, you know, he offers one mango and he kills three neighbors. You have to see the sincerity of the person and the mixture of karmas. This is something we have to deal with. You know, one day we do bhakti yoga, the next day we do vikarma, the third day we do karma. Now we can observe, after studying the Bhagavad Gita, we can be alert and observe ourselves. What are we doing? Are we doing always devotional service? No, not always. Sometimes we do devotional service, sometimes we sleep. Little vikarma on the side, you know. Little karma on the side. Who had his their hand up? Yes. Yeah.
Study up the guru. So when a person changes to, you know, the guru decides that, isn't it? He may change to karma and the Yanakanda. A person, if you follow authority, then you cannot independently change. Or then the guru decides, well, now this person is fit to move on to this.
Not well. Let us say that according to the evolution of the consciousness, according to the desires of the soul, Krishna will manifest the particular type of guidance. But guru is sent by Krishna. So the karmis, they also have their gurus. But their gurus don't know fully the absolute truth. We will see this today, that some of the gurus are called Veda Vadaratas. That they rattle, you say? The Vedas? But they don't understand the purpose. So there are different levels of gurus. That's why we are looking for Sat Guru. Sat Guru is a Vaishnav Guru who knows what's going on. There's so much fun today. Everybody's laughing. Yes, the exam pressure. Okay, no problem. So you got it? There are different varieties of gurus. I told you one time I met one devotee, actually I know him well, his wife, I don't think he has taken Diksha, his wife is initiated. And one time I was on Janmashtami, and he comes to me and he introduces another man and he says, this is my Guruji. So at first I felt very respectful, I thought, oh, some cool guru, some family guru, something like that. You know, so I look at the person, I said, Hare Krishna, Namaskar. He said, yes, he has taught me everything about AC. Yeah, because he has an AC business. He sets up ACs, he repairs ACs, he sells ACs, he buys ACs, and that was his Guruji. That was his Guruji. And I was like, oh, all kinds of gurus.
Yeah. And the person is, he will not guide you in karma.
No, he will not. He will cut. He will cut, but he has to be very expert, because we will study that people who are engrossed in bodily consciousness, you cannot suddenly, you know, transfer them into another department. You have to do that very subtly, you know? Like, even Prabhupada did that with the devotees, like those who were smoking cigarettes, for example. You know, there was one who was smoking cigarettes. He couldn't give up smoking cigarettes. And Prabhupada said, okay, one per day. you know, letting the person smoke for a while, waiting until by the chanting of Hare Krishna he will lose the taste, you know. And then after some time he told him, why do you let one small cigarette stand between you and Krishna? But he didn't tell him that the first day, because otherwise he would have gone. So the super soul, witnessing the desires of the soul, sees whenever the soul suddenly starts thinking, isn't there anything else than all this? Immediately the super soul sends the message, yes, there is. Manifest from outside, someone comes, some book comes, the guru comes, and then he gets the opportunity to hear. We have here the Shrinu, you hear. This buddhi yoga, these kind of things, this kind of confidential knowledge, you come to hear. That is the beginning of knowledge. And then we can progress. So, this is this karma yoga. Yoga itself is the proper use of human life. You studied that. The human life is a life of responsibility. Yes. So the proper use of human life. Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, he continues to take the highest understanding of bhakti yoga, which means no desire for sense gratification, but he takes it to mean for the benefit of Krishna, out of love. So there is something in the purport here. This is what I was explaining about the cake. Any work begun on the material plane has to be completed, otherwise the whole attempt becomes a failure, like the cake for the birthday. But any work begun in Krishna consciousness has a permanent effect, even though not finished. The performer of such work is therefore not at loss, even if his work in Krishna consciousness is incomplete. 1% done in Krishna consciousness bears permanent results, so that the next beginning is from the point of 2%. Whereas in material activity, without 100% success, there is no profit. So we saw that in the life of Ajamil. Ajamil, they say that he got liberated because he took the name of Narayan at the time of death. But in the purports, the Acharyas explain that it's not just that. It's that before he used to worship, and on the strength of that worship, he was liberated. When he remembered Narayan remembered, he was the one who used to worship me. So the credit was not gone. Even though he engaged in sinful activities all his life, the credit of his devotional service could bear fruit. Material activities and their results end with the body. But work in Krishna consciousness carries a person again to Krishna consciousness, even after the loss of the body. So this is our activities, even in Krishna consciousness. You know, we try, we practice. In the beginning, we practice a little, and then we give it up. We do some service, but we don't complete it. But we should endeavor and continue, because there is no loss. So it's better 1% of Krishna consciousness rather than 200% of material activity. We should understand that. 41 is the characteristics of a buddhi yogi in contrast with the characteristics of a karmi, materialistic person. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kuru nandana bahushakhayanantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Those who are on this path, which path? Buddhi Yoga, devotional service, are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So what are the characteristics of the Buddhi Yogi here, or the devotee? Is what? Resolute. Resolute means determined. Vyavasaya is determination. Yes, determination. Resolute. And what else? Unflinching faith. Yes, firm. Is firm, is unflinching faith. Faith in what? This is in this verse, this is where there is this famous definition of faith by Srila Prabhupada. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. So this is the beginning of faith. Faith in Krishna, this is like very evolved faith. So karma yoga begins, buddhi yoga begins with faith in something sublime beyond this world. What else is the, what else he has, this person? Undeviating, yes. Undeviating, one-pointed, ekeha, eka. He has one aim, and that aim is that something sublime. He wants to achieve spirituality. So this is one-branched and many-branched, whereas the karmi, many-branched, many desires, many objects. He wants so many things, he doesn't know which one to do first, where to concentrate. Whereas the spiritualist, he doesn't have this problem. He knows. It's there. I want to achieve Krishna. When? As soon as possible. Yeah, I want to achieve Krishna. In this lifetime, I want to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. There's no question of going to the Bahamas to see whether it's as beautiful as you read in the magazine. No interest. We don't want to go to the Bahamas. We have seen last life, previous life. We don't want to see this time. So this is Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. Confident, firm, determined, resolute, one-pointed. Whereas the non-devotee's determination is split. Srila Prabhupada explained, a strong faith, well, is this this one? Yes. A strong faith, are we here? Yes, we are here. Okay. That by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called Vyavasayatmika. Intelligence, resolute intelligence. Do we have this faith that by the process of Krishna consciousness we will be elevated to the highest situation? Or do we have to mix it a little bit with some like Hatha Yoga and little bit of Karma Yoga or little bit of welfare activity or little bit of something, something? Do we have to mix it? No, just in case, you know, just in case it doesn't work. We should have a spare wheel. If we do that, then we will be like Draupadi, you know, who was hanging on to her sari, then Krishna was like, not my business. Krishna will not take care of us unless we have this firm faith that simply by bhakti yoga, Krishna will maintain us. Krishna will look after us. If we don't give him a chance, when will we ever know? Hmm? Now we should know that this, what is the basis of this resolute intelligence? Prabhupada says, the resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlava. It's based on knowledge, it's not based on some kind of sentimentality. That's why study of the Shastra is very important. When we study the Shastra, we become more firm in our faith, in our resolution that yes, this is it, it's like that. We catch the truth. So this is here that Srila Prabhupada says that by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches. So by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Do we trust this?
Yes.
Very good. We have to trust this. The more we trust this, the more powerful will be our devotional service. Yes?
You said the definition of faith. You said that you have faith in Krishna as the form of mind. But in the beginning, the practitioner has faith in something similar.
This is a very, very, very beginning. It's not the beginning for a bhakta. Bhakta is advanced. He has faith in Krishna from the beginning.
So then this is not
So we are going to see what is the basis of that faith is he has heard. He has heard, and also it's a sort of, faith is not something that is a material thing, it's actually spiritual. And it's a realization. Some have it and some don't have it. It's actually a perception of spirit. It is said that faith comes, you know, after many times you will see that in Nectar of Devotion, when the living entity many times wandering around in the material world actually comes in touch with the devotees unknowingly, with the Archavigraha, the Prasadam, the Krishna Katha, the holy name, unknowingly. He doesn't do anything, but he comes in touch, you know. And every time we come in touch with Krishna, the holy places, the holy rivers, the holy people, the holy name, there is an effect. There is an effect on the covering of the soul. And gradually, 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 it's like there is a hole that is made in the covering of our consciousness. Because initially the covering of our consciousness is so tight. It's called Nityabaddha. It's so tight, we have no clue of spirituality, 0%. And it is by coming in contact with those who have that knowledge that slowly, 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 it scratches a little bit. You know, there is a dust on the mirror, and a little, few little particles of dust are removed. And when enough particles of dust are removed, then slowly, slowly you start seeing, oh, there's something behind the dust. So this becomes the beginning for this faith to actually, this is the beginning of faith. And faith can be obtained in 1 second if you meet someone like Prabhupada. You know, in 1 second faith is implanted in the heart because it was so powerful. But otherwise it takes many encounters, many times bathing in holy rivers, many times hearing before there's actually, you know, some spiritual consciousness, some spiritual energy which actually awakens. And then when this happens, then that spiritual energy or that awakening of the soul will allow attraction to spiritual things. And then when the Harinam passes by, the person will go like, oh, what a nice sound. And the one who doesn't have the credit, he won't even notice the Harinam. He won't see it. Or he will think, oh, what a disturbance. So much noise. But the one who is awakened, he will like it. Oh, that's very nice. You give him a prasadam ladu? Yes. He puts it in the mouth. Very nice. The other one throws it in the gutter. What is the difference between the two? The spiritual consciousness is different. So, all right, now we will read something quick about Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, because when you say, what is it, if he doesn't even know what it is exactly? But what is very important to achieve this fixedness on the goal, anyone has read the purport? What is the most important thing that we should be fixed on? When we say fixed in Krishna consciousness, fixed on the absolute truth, what does it actually mean? Yeah, but what is it that we should be fixed on? The instructions on the spiritual master. Yes. This is what is actually Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. This is to be fixed on the instructions of the spiritual master. Prabhupada quotes this Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado Yasya prasadat nagati kutopi Dhyayanstu vamstasya yasastri sandhyam Vande guru sri charanaravindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day at least, and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. So this purport is actually very important. There is something in Surrender Unto Me, Burijan Prabhu has nicely summarized this thing. It is after reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's purport on this verse. It is actually Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur who points out in his commentary that Vyavasayatmika Buddhi is achieved by fixing oneself on the instructions of the spiritual master and trying to follow that very meticulously, with devotion. If one does that, then the intelligence is connected to the Supreme. Because otherwise, how do we connect to the Supreme? As you say, some people don't understand what's the Supreme. And even if we understand, it's not that easy to directly connect with Krishna. But the spiritual master, he knows how to bring us from point A to Z. And so if we just follow his instructions, then our mind is fixed, our intelligence is fixed. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur wrote, he connected following the spiritual master to Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. And Srila Prabhupada, it is by reading that commentary that he became determined to execute the order of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to actually go to the West and spread Krishna consciousness. Because that order had been given to him the first time he met Bhaktisiddhanta. This is very amazing. He was a young man that time. A young boy, like he had just finished his studies. And he was in the Gandhi movement. Of liberation of India from the British rule. And Mahatma Gandhi just smashed all these dreams of what is this, you want to liberate the country for doing what, give it in the hands of some other ignorant people. We should liberate the people from Maya. That's what we should do, not liberate just India from the British rule. So as we see today, that India never became free from the British rule. On the contrary, the British rule is right here, is completely overcome India in the modern, with the modern civilization. So Bhaktisiddhanta gave him the order that you are young man, why don't you take up this mission and spread this message of Bhagavad Gita in English. So Guruji and Prabhu writes that Prabhupada once told his disciples that in the 1950s, before he spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world, he read the commentary on this verse written by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He said he was struck by the commentary, which further fixed him in his resolve to follow Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur's order to preach Krishna consciousness in English. So this verse is important for us. It is the beginning of the Hare Krishna movement in the modern world. So this is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes. Of all kinds of intelligence, the best intelligence focused on Bhakti Yoga. In Bhakti Yoga, one's intelligence becomes single-pointed or fixed in determination. One thinks, the instructions of my spiritual master to worship the personality of Godhead by chanting, remembering, serving his feet, and so on, are my only sadhana, my only sadhya, my only livelihood. I am unable to give up these instructions, either on the stage of practice, in sadhana, or in the stage of perfection. They alone are my object of desire and my only responsibility. Besides them, I can desire no other responsibility, not even in my dreams. It is all the same to me whether I feel happy or unhappy, or whether my material existence is eradicated or not. So this is the no desire for personal aggrandizement, no desire for sense gratification, no desire for liberation. Only one desire, which desire is that? To satisfy the spiritual master and fulfill the order of the spiritual master. So whoever understands this point and fixes their mind on this, then they will be successful in achieving this Buddhi Yoga. Srila Prabhupada comments further on this verse in his purport to Srimad Bhagavatam 2.4, 3-4. Prabhupada writes, the whole matter is concluded in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41 as Vyavasayatmika Buddhi, or the absolute path of perfection. Sri Baladev Vidyabhushan defined this as Bhagavat Archana Rupaika Nishkama Karmabir Vishuddha Chitta, means accepting transcendental loving service to the Lord as the prime duty, free from reaction. This is this is Prabhupada. This is a letter, I think, that Prabhupada wrote. He said, I was born in a different family. My Guru Maharaj was born in a different family. Who knew that I will come under his protection? Who knew that I would come in America? Who knew that you American boys will come to me? These are all Krishna's arrangement. We cannot understand how things are taking place. In 1936, today is 9th December, that means 32 years ago, in Bombay, I was then doing some business. All of a sudden, perhaps on this date, sometimes between 9th or 10th December, at that time, Guru Maharaj was indisposed little, and he was staying at Jagannath Puri on the seashore. So I wrote him a letter. My dear master, your other disciples, brahmacharis, sannyasis, they are rendering you direct service. But I am a householder. I cannot live with you. I cannot serve you nicely. So I do not know. How can I serve you? This was Prabhupada's letter. Simply an idea. I was thinking of serving him. How can I serve him seriously? So the reply was dated 13 December 1936. In that letter he wrote, "My dear such and such, I am very glad to receive your letter. I think you should try to push our movement in English." Prabhupada says, that was his writing. And then again, Bhaktisiddhanta wrote, "And that will do good to you and to the people who will help you." That was his instruction. And then in 1936, on the 31st December, that means just after writing this letter, a fortnight before his departure, he passed away. But I took that order of my spiritual master very seriously. But I did not think that I'll have to do such and such thing. I was at that time a householder. But this is the arrangement of Krishna. If we strictly try to serve the spiritual master, his order, then Krishna will give us all facilities. That is the secret. Although there was no possibility, I never thought, but I took it little seriously by studying a commentary by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on the Bhagavad Gita. So he was preparing himself to preach. In the Bhagavad Gita, the verse Vyavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana, in connection with that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives his commentary that we should take up the words from the spiritual master as our life and soul. We should try to carry out the instruction, the specific instruction of the spiritual master, very rigidly, without caring for our personal benefit or loss. So I tried a little bit in that spirit. So he has given me all facilities to serve him. Things have come to this stage in this old age. I have come to your country, and you are also taking this movement seriously, trying to understand it. We have got some books now, so there is little foothold of this movement. So on this occasion of my spiritual master's departure, as I am trying to execute his will, similarly, I shall also request you to execute the same order through my will. I am an old man. I can also pass away at any moment. That is nature's law. Nobody can check it. So that is not very astonishing. But my appeal to you on this auspicious day, that at least to some extent you have understood the essence of Krishna consciousness, you should try to push it on. People are suffering for want of this consciousness. So this is Srila Prabhupada's, this is called his standing order. That we should fix our mind on executing the mission of the spiritual master. In general, this means we should be fixed in the preaching mission. And specifically, we have to see what our spiritual master wants us to do within that preaching mission. But we should take this up and do it. Should we do one more?
Yamimam pushpitam vacham pravadyantya vipaschitaha vedavadarata partha nanyadasti jivadinaha kamatmana swarga para janma karma phalapradam kriya vishesha bahulam hogeshvarya gatim prati.
So this is here what's happening. Is after telling us the characteristics of the Buddhi Yogis and the Karmis, Krishna is smashing the Karmis. He is condemning the very thing that he was preaching to Arjuna in 31 to 38. He was preaching Karmakanda just to try to make him fight on that basis and to show us what is the psychology of a Karmi. And now he is condemning this thing. What does he say? Men of small knowledge. So those who are believing in this sense of gratification, they are men of small knowledge. Yeah. Are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas. Pushpitam vacham. Pushpa means a flower. A flower. So, flowery words. And what are the flowery words? It's this Karma Kandi section which promises sense enjoyment. The promises of sense enjoyment in the Vedas, this is called Pushpitam Bachan. It's flowery words. What are flowery words?
They sound nice.
They sound nice, but they have no substance. There's no substance in them. So they are very much attached to the flowery words of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to heavenly planets, resultant good birth, power, and so forth. Being desirous of sense gratification and opulent life, they say that there is nothing more than this. So he condemns this Bahushaka mentality. Ananta. There is never any end in the material desires. So the Vedas are considered a tree. Then there are different parts. So in the tree, there is these Pushpitam Vacham. These are the flowers. There are some flowers. And there are different kinds of flowers on the tree, which are instructions of the Vedas. And some of them are poisonous flowers. So these ones, these promises of enjoyment, they are actually poisonous flowers. So those who are avipaschitaha, who have no knowledge, especially meaning they have no knowledge of the soul, no knowledge of Krishna, of any transcendental goal, so they are very much interested in these promises. And they are called Veda Vada Rata. Rata means to be busy in. The Veda Vada means that they know the Vedas, they follow Shastra, but it's for personal profit. They do not know the true purpose of the Vedas. You found that in Isha Upanishad. They were called Vidyarata. The Vidyarata. Those who practice or follow the Vedas for sense enjoyment. And so they are so-called knowers of the Vedas. They are called they are so-called learned. Actually, avipaschita means they are not learned. And what is their philosophy? Na anyad astiti vadinaha. It means nastik. Nastik, there are two philosophies in the Vedas. There is Astikya and Nastikya. The Nastikya means to deny actually the true purpose of the Vedas and to deny the personality of Godhead. And even to deny transcendence altogether. So this is, they are actually Nastikas. Because they do not believe in the actual purpose of the Vedas. they are occupied with performing all kinds of kriya vishesha bahulam, pompous ceremonies, many, many types of yagyas and all kinds of, you know, those who follow Karmakanda, they are busy from morning to night, 365 days a year, worshipping different demigods for different purposes, because they don't know the source, that you just pray to Krishna, akama, sarva kama, va moksha kama, udaradi, whatever you want, you just ask one person and you'll get it. But they don't know about that person. So then when they want something, they ask this demigod, and then they want another thing, they ask that demigod, and you know, 33 million demigods to worship, it keeps them busy. Keeps them busy. It is good, because during that time they don't commit sins. And what is their hope in life? What is their hope? What is it that they want? Swarga para, they want to go, they want to attain swarga, and they want all kind of enjoyment. What is their goal? It's actually bhoga, enjoyment, and aishvarya, opulent life. So, and Prabhupada explains that this is actually like it's about 90% of the Vedas which deal with that section, the Karma Kanda, like in terms of volume, 90% of the Vedas deals with that. Why? Because 90% of the people in this world are only interested in sense enjoyment. And there is only 10% of the Vedas, and this means the Upanishads, because here we are talking of the Shruti. 10%, that's the Upanishads, that actually deal with Divya Gyan, transcendental knowledge. So they practice different things. There is a mention here of the Jyotistoma sacrifices. In the Karmakanda sections, there are different, they call them prototype yagyas, some typical type of yagyas to be performed to achieve different planets. So the Jyotistoma is one of them. They are given in the Brahmanas section. You have studied that? You have studied that initial? The four Vedas? And in each Veda there are four sections? Did you see that? Yes? The Sanhitas, the Brahmanas, the Aranyakas, and the Upanishads. So in the sections of the Brahmanas, they give all the details how to perform the yagyas. And so that's what they do. They follow all kind of vows. They are always fasting. It will come again. We will study that a little bit further. So these are actually, Krishna says, two obstacles on the spiritual path. This bhoga and eshvarya. Bhogeshvarya prasaktanam taya parhita chetasam vyavasayatmika buddhi samadho navidhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So if we want to make advancement in spiritual life, we have to avoid these two things. Sense enjoyment and life in opulence. Because these things are bewildering to the mind. And of course here it is said too attached. It means that it's not that we have to go to the forest, leave everything. No, we should not. This will also come in Nectar of Devotion. We should not be neither too attached nor too detached. Either or. These two, these extremes, they are not good. A yogi is balanced. So samadhi means here fixed mind. When the mind is fixed for understanding the self, it is said to be in samadhi. So this bhoga and aishvarya, they belong to the rajogun department, and so they disturb the mind, they create waves in the mind in so many ways, and when passion is in the mind, there is no way that we can think straight. We cannot fix the mind on the holy name. We cannot fix the mind on the study. We cannot fix the mind in general on devotional service. We just can't. Okay, so I will stop here for today. For tomorrow, we will complete this section 50, up to 53, I think. Up to 53. So tomorrow you have a day.